So if you want to experience the GOP presidential campaign, really experience it, steer clear of the highlighted soundbite jousting of those candidate debates and go straight into the parallel universe of those early contest states, Iowa's caucuses, primaries in South Carolina and Florida, and of course, New Hampshire. All four states are in full campaign swing, heavy ad rotation, lots of meet and greet events, candidate visits, solid organizations running at full tilt, and busloads of media beginning to focus on voters. In these early states, it's all Romney versus Gingrich, and we wouldn't have thought that even a few months ago. Newt Gingrich has the polling edge in Iowa, South Carolina, and Florida, while Mitt Romney is in the lead in New Hampshire. And on the ground with the Romney machine and the candidate himself, the former Massachusetts governor was in New Hampshire yesterday, is our own Anna Sale. She's a reporter for itsafreecountry.org, the politics website of our co-producer, WNYC. Anna, you're in Manchester?
That's right.
Good morning. What's it like being around all of those media-savvy New Hampshireites who've spoken to reporters going back to, you know, the 1930s?
Well, they are ready. They have been thinking about this for months, and you cross over for the Massachusetts border into New Hampshire, and all of a sudden there are campaign signs at just about every single intersection that you get to. But, of course, this is a state where it's not been a news story because Mitt Romney has led here all along, although his lead has narrowed a bit now that Newt Gingrich is surging. But Mitt Romney is a New Englander. He was the governor of the border state, Massachusetts, and he's put in serious time here, both for the 2008 vote and for the 2012 vote. And that's important. Folks recognize that because there has been this conversation about the importance of debates in this cycle. So New Hampshire voters like that he's putting in time on the ground.
Well, Anna, let me hear in the people that you've spoken to just how much that time and money and energy has paid off.
Well, what you hear is when you ask Romney supporters why they like him, you basically hear Romney's talking points coming right back at you. Here's a Republican named Garrett Laudin, who I talked to at Romney's town hall last night in Hudson, New Hampshire.
I'm finally glad that we're going to have a business person in the White House who understands what's going on.
All right. It's precise. It's thoughtful. But is there love there?
Well, there's love there, and there's also some reticence about Newt Gingrich. When you talk to folks about what they think about Newt Gingrich, the Romney supporters, some say, you know, whoever the Republican nominee is, I'm going to vote for him. But there are others who have real concerns about Newt Gingrich. This is a Republican named Marge Gifford, who I talked to at the same town hall. She called Gingrich's rise in the polls disturbing. And she said part of the reason she likes Mitt Romney is that he's not coming out fighting and coming out swinging with attacks of other Republicans. But when I asked her if she thinks he's coming back and fighting back enough, this is what she said.
I think Gingrich is a smart person as far as his, as a historian or whatever. But I don't think his views are the right ones for the country.
That's interesting. That reticence, we'll see how that translates both in the primary and in all the other early states where Newt Gingrich is leading. Anna Sale, how closely are people watching these debates and all the drama and the gaffes? For instance, any perception of the $10,000 bet that Romney made to Rick Perry, a bet that he would have won on factual terms, but on strategic terms, who knows?
Well, that's not something that came up during the town hall. When New Hampshire voters had the opportunity to ask Mitt Romney questions on their own at this town hall yesterday, they were all about policy. They were about the Mideast peace process. They were about the European debt crisis. It was only when Mitt Romney was talking to reporters that bet came up. But you definitely heard Mitt Romney doing some damage control. This is what he said when he was talking to reporters about whether he regretted making that bet.
After the debate was over, Ann came up and gave me a kiss and said I was great. And she said, there are a lot of things you do well. Betting isn't one of them.
You know, he is someone who has financed his campaigns with his own formidable wealth. He's a powerful individual, a former Massachusetts governor. Do you get the sense that he's one of the people there in New Hampshire, a place that is very used to seeing his face?
Well, that's what was interesting. I mean, the $10,000 bet story had legs because it sort of undermined that perception that Mitt Romney understands what everyday Americans are going through. And at the town hall yesterday, it was interesting. He was asked a question by a voter about, you know, what's an experience that has changed you? It was a very open-ended question. And Mitt Romney talked about his time serving his Mormon mission in France. And he talked about how he had to live on a tight budget at that time. Listen to this.
And with that, we had to buy our clothing, our food, our rent, virtually everything we had. Our transportation all came out of about $500 or $600 a month. So you know you're not living high on the hog at that kind of level. And so I lived with people in France who lived very modestly.
Now, Anaceo, Mitt Romney, you know, it was probably unquestionably telling the truth there, and that was a real experience for him. But how did the audience react to him talking about his tough times in France?
It was kind of interesting. It was just sort of quiet. It seemed like he went on to say that he'd lived in apartments with no refrigerators or showers or modern plumbing, and he was making the point that that time in France made him appreciate being an American and coming back and getting an education. But it certainly didn't seem to connect. I don't think there are many American voters out there who spent the late 1960s in France and understand that experience.
Or who understand the experience of the Mormon mission, which, of course, is common to virtually all Mormons. What is it that separates Mitt Romney? Is it that Mormonness, or is it this sort of a financial bubble that he seems to live in? Or is it just when he gets unscripted, you never know what he's going to say?
Well, I'm not sure about. I mean, it's interesting because what people, even his supporters, again, what they go back to is that they like that he's a businessman. They like that he's a numbers guy. They like that he can be in charge. So it's not his humanness that people are responding to. And that is something that Romney is trying to sort of capitalize on. He didn't talk about Newt Gingrich when he was doing his town hall. He didn't mention any other Republican contenders by name. But he did talk. Several times he mentioned that he would approach issues with care and caution and sobriety. So he's getting there at the way he approaches decision-making, and that's certainly what I hear is an implicit dig at Newt Gingrich.
Any sense with the surging of Gingrich in the polls that this feels like a last stand for Gingrich or his organization?
A last stand for Gingrich. I would say...
No, last stand for Romney.
Yes, I would say it's more of a this is a very important place for Mitt Romney to win. And for his supporters talking to him, they don't sound too worried yet. They say, look, he's got a well-oiled machine here in New Hampshire. He hasn't even put all of his ads on air. He's got, you know, people on the ground. They know how to run sound systems. They know how to do events. So they feel confident at this point.
The powder is dry. Anna Sale, reporter for itsafreecountry.org, the politics website of our co-producer, WNYC. Thanks, Anna.